Check out my newly renamed podcast, Democracy on Fire with Kay Brown, where we'll discuss the ongoing conflict with Iran and its implications for our economy, security, and upcoming elections. Hope to see you there. Democracy on Fire on United America Network.
Welcome to Hotspots on the United America Network. From the shifting landscapes of politics and culture to the urgent challenges facing our planet and our communities, this is where the conversations that matter most come alive. With her experience as a journalist, legislator, and activist, Kay Brown brings sharp insight, uplifting perspective, and unflinching courage to the issues shaping our future. Get ready for candid conversations, bold ideas, and the pushback our times demand. Now, here's Kay.
Welcome to Hotspots. So glad you are here. The topic today is Trump's newly launched war against Iran and the comments of military leaders to U.S. troops saying that this is a holy war, that President Trump has been anointed by Jesus to light the signal fire in Iran to cause Armageddon and the end times and mark Jesus' return to earth. Who knew? One person who has heard a lot about this from members of the military is my guest, Michael Mikey Weinstein, the founder and president of Military Religious Freedom Foundation, a nonprofit founded in 2005. M's stated mission is to protect the constitutional rights of service members, particularly those who feel pressured by religious activity from superiors or the institutions they serve. Weinstein is a U.S. Air Force Academy graduate and former Air Force officer who also worked as an attorney in government-related roles in the Reagan White House. I'm happy to welcome him. What have you heard from members of the military since the war in Iran began less than a week ago as we record this today?
So, yeah, okay, we started getting contacted by military members that indicated that their superiors and their chain of command seemed to be pretty euphoric and gleeful about the fact that this war with Iran had started because it was, among other things, pretty specifically laid out in their version, the commander's versions or the superior's versions of Christian end times eschatology in accordance with the battle, you know, of Armageddon. So people started calling, and that's not something you want to hear from your command command chain. And we broke the story, and it's gone around the world.
How many communications have you received from members of the military, and from how many branches?
All the branches and over 200, over 50 installations. We're not going to get any more specific than that. But today, you might have seen that 30 members of the U.S. Congress, the House of Representatives, all Democrats, sent basically a demand letter to the Inspector General at the Department of Defense wanting to get this investigated. Now, they may blow it off because they're all Democrats that wrote. And of course, Pete Hegseth is a raging right-wing Christian nationalist as the head of the Pentagon.
So how do you view this end times eschatology that is being espoused by Hegseth and those under his command?
Well, it's fine to have whatever views you want. It's a free country. But this country was built on separating theology and state. And Hegseth is holding every month now a fundamentalist Christian parachurch praise service in the largest auditorium in the Pentagon during the duty day. You know, during duty hours with people in uniform, which is a flagrant violation of that separation of church and state embodied in the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, Kay, but also a lesser known part of the Constitution. Clause 3, Article 6 says we will never have a religious test for any position in the federal government. And if you're a sailor, soldier, marine, airman, or guardian, that's what they're called, Kay, in the Space Force, you probably didn't know that, you are in the federal government. So we've seen with human history, whenever an extremist religious entity merges with that part of the state that is in charge of war, we do not end up with little creeks or streams, okay, or ponds or lakes. We end up with oceans and oceans of blood.
So how did this come about that so many officers began transmitting this information at the same time? Did he send out a memo or?
We don't know if it was top down. I mean, we do know that everybody woke up last Saturday, we're at war. And, there's 1,000 military installations. It took our initial numbers that came in were 110 at 30 installations. Then the story went viral, and then it pretty much doubled well, to 50 installations and over 200. So we don't know where it came from other than the fact that we've seen it before when the Israeli Defense Forces invaded Gaza to try to punish the Palestinians for the October 7th massacre in Israel, 2023. Some of the same stuff happened, but nothing, not of this this magnitude.
Why do you think the administration allows this framing of this conflict? Why would they be trying to promote this concept of the end times and the world is ending, the end of everything?
Well, because we have a Christian nationalist administration. That means they want to destroy our constitutional representative democracy and replace it with essentially Gilead from Margaret Atwood's book, The Handmaid's Tale, or the Hulu series, an austere, you know, Christian nationalist nation that views women as being incapable of being able to vote or to play a part in the military. They should be basically getting pregnant, raising kids, buying food after they select it, preparing meals, cleaning up, that's it. Jews killed Jesus. Muslims can't be trusted. Slavery was something that was biblically mandated in this country. It's okay. And a lot of slave owners actually were very, you know, had a nice relationship with their slaves, the way they had a nice relationship with their living room furniture. And if you're LGBTQIA+, you probably don't deserve to live. Christian nationalism is what fuels MAGA. It is the jet fuel for it. Next question.
Next question. Why is what happens in Israel in the Middle East so significant to this fundamentalist Christian view of the end times?
Because that's talked about in Revelation. And of course, there are thousands of Christian denominations, but the concept of the end times and there's a drive to get Israeli or Jewish hegemony in the Middle East, as many Jews as we can crowd into where Israel is, that will serve as an accelerant or lubricant to bring their version of warrior weaponized Jesus back. And they're given a metric. There'll be a 200-mile-long river, 200-mile-long river, 4.5 feet deep, filled with nothing but the human blood of those that weaponized Jesus has slaughtered at the Battle of Armageddon.
Has the White House been asked to comment on this development?
We've got a 2-year-old sociopathic narcissist in there. I don't refer to this as any sort of normal thing. I spent 3 years in the West Wing and in the new executive office building working for Ronald Reagan as one of his lawyers. I don't talk about the White House as if it's anything normal. They will not comment. And it's been 5 days now, and to our knowledge, the Pentagon refuses to comment, which is fascinating in and of itself.
Do you think that such framing, and now that this is out and becoming publicly known, thanks to your disclosure of it, that this is going to affect the actual conduct of the war? Is it going to help them mobilize their supporters and shore up political opinion, which seems to be opposed to the war right now? Do you think they view this as a positive thing, or the fact that they won't comment is they're backing away from it?
We don't know. We don't know if they're going to, how they're going to do this. We don't know if it was purposeful. All we know is that our clients report that it happened. You know, we're not in the habit of our clients who are whistleblowers of sticking them on a polygraph. We've done it before, but there wasn't time this time. We've been doing this for, you know, in our 21st year of doing it. And we're proud of the fact that we're not bragging, but we're, from a credibility perspective, we have 8 Nobel Peace Prize nominations, including one for 2026. And the last 5 came from a prior winner of the Peace Prize who's on our advisory board. So we know that we provide our clients, you know, AARP, and not the one that you're thinking about, but anonymity, action, results, and protection. So our job is to give them a voice. I don't have any sense of trust at all in this, quote, administration that they'll do the right thing. They'll do whatever Trump wants. And we view him as a petulant, like I said, 2-year-old. And anyone that's working for him is nothing more than a obsequious, servile ass kisser. But this is a real world thing. And it's as if we make ourselves look like the 9th version of the 8 prior crusades came from the 11th century through the 13th century. This provides a recruiting bonanza to Al-Qaeda and ISIS and the Taliban of unparalleled magnitude.
So you think this initiative that Hegseth has undertaken to insert Christian nationalism into our national policies is going to be our ultimate downfall in this war?
it's completely antithetical to our Constitution. When our constitutional framers created our Constitution, they looked at European history, where most of the blood that had happened had been when men of the cloth had been men in political power. They looked at Cromwell in England. They looked at the Salem witch trials. So they said, we're not going to have that here. They cleaved a giant chasm or Grand Canyon between church and state. And that was something that was, you know, critically important to do. And it's resulted in a pretty excellent mandate for our, you know, for our democracy. But what they're doing now is the opposite of that. It's unconstitutional. Hegseth has tattooed on his right bicep the words Deus vult, which is Latin for God wills it, which is one of the slogans from the Crusades.
What do you see as the best possible outcome here?
Well, it's not going to be completely fixed in the next elections or next couple, but that's a good start, is to try to maintain our country and save it by getting these monsters out of office and, you know, getting people that respect our Constitution again in there. Because I think, as Joan Baez said, that action is the antidote to despair. So we have to take some action right now. Bob Dylan, Bob Dylan's ex-girlfriend.
Bob Dylan.
Joan Baez. And that's a great phrase. Take action, do something, be like the people of Minneapolis, fight, stand up, donate to organizations like ours and others that are fighting this. We're nonprofits. Stand up when someone says something in public. And, you know, like I said, be like the people in Minneapolis. We've got to bring our democracy back. We're going to have to fight for it if we want it. And we want to have an answer when our children and grandchildren ask someday, if we do pull out of this abyss, mom and grandma, dad, grandpa, what did you do to fight this?
I want to thank again my guest, Mikey Weinstein of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, for the work that they've been doing. The insights that have been shared about the end times and the holy war rhetoric being spread by Hegseth and the U.S. military to justify the war in Iran is deeply disturbing. Trump has launched a war that's now spreading in the Middle East and already killing many, many people, wounding members of the public and civilians. He's done it without a plan, without a strategy, without justification of imminent harm, without planning for the evacuation of Americans or the defense of our Gulf Coast allies now being attacked. And unfortunately, with no clear idea about where it leads or how we're going to get out of it. And now we find out that it's being justified by our military leaders as a way to hasten the end of everything and return us to the end of the world. Are the end times really at hand, or are they really that delusional? Or is this primarily a war of diversion from the Epstein files? Whatever, it's not good. So what can we do? As Mr. Weinstein said, show up, speak out, and take to the streets. We've got to demand that our leaders adhere to the Constitution and that Congress do its duty of due diligence and determine whether this war is justified and whether we should be spending billions bombing Iranian citizens and civilians and sacrificing the lives of our own troops. Republicans in Congress narrowly blocked attempts at oversight and restraint. And so the war continues and spreads. And to turn this thing around, another critical thing we have to do is get ready to vote in the upcoming primaries and fall elections. Learn about the candidates and help groups working to educate and turn out voters. Hope to see you again soon on Hotspots.
You've been listening to Hotspots with Kay Brown, where tough issues meet thoughtful conversation. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and join us again as we spotlight the struggles, solutions, and stories that fuel resilience and change. Until next time, keep your fire burning. Hot Spots is a production of the United America Network and is available on most major podcast platforms, as well as from unitedamericanetwork.com. This is what democracy sounds and looks like.
If you've had enough and want to wake up our recalcitrant Congress, join me on Democracy on Fire with Kay Brown for the top 23 reasons we need regime change now. Hope to see you there, Democracy on Fire, on United America Network.